Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
We are so thankful to have with us in the studio today, Zach Sandy, a young preacher who just nearly 1 year ago was struck and killed by lightning on a baseball field in Parkersburg, West Virginia. He was left without pulse or breath for some 30 minutes or so, and then the Lord graciously saw fit to allow his heart to start beating again. Zach, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here today.
So we're coming up on 1 year.
Doesn't seem like that long.
This has no doubt been the most significant year of your life.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, it just seems like it was just yesterday.
The family and church and community are planning a huge party to celebrate the miracle of your resurrection from the dead. And that party is to be held the very day, which it was July 11, 2012, when you were struck down by lightning and resurrected. So this coming July 11, which will be on a Thursday, there is a huge party scheduled, an anniversary miracle celebration party, and it's going to be held at the Clarksburg City Park in Nutter Fort, which is also known as Norwood Park. And it's not only going to be a party with food and music and fun and fellowship, but also a launch party for the awesome new book that talks about the miracle and all that went on with it. And this was written by your dad.
Yes.
Talk with us a little bit about what all is in the book.
Oh, wow. Well, it starts at the beginning, as you can imagine. The first chapter is kind of about when I was born. There was some birth problems. They didn't expect me or my mother to make it.
Wow.
I was premature. I had to be in an incubator. I wasn't breathing on my own. And then after that, I really had no other health problems. I mean, a little cold, flu here and there, but I was never in the hospital. And then, boom, this tragedy.
And so it's interesting to me how your dad's point of view, which this book was written by your dad, right. And of course, the folks may realize that I served as an editor and a contributing author to it.
Yes.
But my capacity was just to help shape and refine the words written by your dad. But it was interesting to me to see that he looked at the beginning of your life with struggle and you having to be in that incubator machine and all of that. He looked at that struggle at the beginning and this struggle now as bookends on a story that's really kind of a storybook life. You were phenomenally athletic. You were successful in baseball and football.
Yep.
Any other sports?
No. I played basketball here and there down at the park, just joking around, but
and
I
so,
wasn't that good.
You know, as far as things go, you played on all these teams. Sometimes you were on all-star team.
Travel teams. School teams.
Your dad almost kind of got to enjoy all of these things with sports that he didn't get to enjoy as a child. He kind of, you know, through coaching you and through being involved with you, he kind of got to enjoy all of that.
Right. I think I learned the most when it was just me and my dad. I mean, I learned a lot from coaches, but my dad taught me probably the most about sports and things. So that was pretty special to him.
And so he frames the story as you started off with struggle and you started off as this tiny little infant struggling against this challenge laid before you. And through the help of God, your mother overcame this, you overcame this.
Right.
And now here he frames this death by lightning and resurrection as yet another time when the miraculous help of God has helped you to overcome struggle. Talk to us a little bit. Everybody always thinks that, what were you doing playing softball out in a thunderstorm? Tell the folks that it was not a thunderstorm.
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot. Like, why they could, like, the camp administration could be sued or something like that. Well, we weren't out in a storm, although a lot of people think we were, and still to this day, some people think I had a bat in my hand, which all that was in my hand was a glove. There were actually younger children waving around bats that were metal, a huge cell phone tower. Like you said, it was just a clear sky above us, and there was a storm off in the distance. It wasn't nearly close enough. I mean, we still had perfect – it was a perfect day, sunlight, everything.
So you were not on a hilltop. There was high ground way higher than you around you.
Yes.
You were by no means the highest thing nearby. There were big big power lines were held up by these big metal towers, right?
Yep.
That was right near you. I mean, if the lightning was looking to strike something high up, it could have struck that.
Or someone taller.
Yeah.
I'm not that tall.
So you weren't on a hilltop. You didn't have a metal bat in your hand. You weren't the highest thing around. You weren't even the tallest person around.
Right.
There were no thunder clouds or anything, thunderstorms near where you were. There was some indication maybe of a storm way off in the distance. One of the things that we learned through all this is that it's common for lightning to strike 10 or 11 miles out ahead of a storm, or even 10 or 11 miles back behind where the storm has already come.
Yeah.
And so you were a recipient or a victim of this kind of lightning strike that was many, many miles way out leading in front of a storm. Just the other day, I watched on YouTube, there's a big fad in Russia with dash cams.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that police officers in the U.S. have dash cams in their police cruisers, in Russia, nearly everybody who drives a car has a dash cam.
Wow.
And it's just a thing, like if they get in a wreck, They've got video record and witness to back them up. The Russian people just love having these dash cams. They just leave them on all the time. And someone from Russia published on YouTube the video from their dash cam. They're driving down the road, and it's overcast skies. I mean, it's kind of thing where people probably didn't want to really be out, but they were out in it. A little bit rainy weather.
Right.
And as this car is coming around this curve, there's a little bus stop, kind of a little shelter where people wait. And there's a woman standing there kind of in the open with her little girl, and lightning strikes her.
Wow.
And it was a massive bolt of lightning. And what was interesting was she was standing next to this structure. You think it would have struck the structure.
Right.
Near her, passing by her on the road, was this humongous box truck, you know, easily double her height.
Yeah.
And yet the lightning did not strike the building right next to her. It did not strike this truck. It struck her.
That's amazing.
Just one of those kind of I don't really understand all of the intricacies of the laws of physics that dictate which way the lightning goes.
Right.
But it's seems that there are too many variables there for us to comprehend, certainly too many for us to predict.
Yeah.
But lightning just doesn't always strike where you think it would, and it doesn't always strike in the way that you think it would. So you're hit with this bolt of lightning. It knocked several people to the ground.
Right.
Some of them, it just floored them. Some of them, it knocked them to their knees. Many people testified that the ground shook. This bolt of lightning hit you in the top of the back of your head,
right,
went down and through your neck, burning your body. It practically blew your clothes apart. It melted and burned your shirt down the side.
Melted them together.
In some places, melting it together, in some places, melting it apart.
Yeah.
Your pants were melted and split down the sides. One side, which side was it that was almost entirely split apart?
The left side.
The left side was split almost entirely apart.
Right.
So your clothes just nearly blown off of you. The lightning passes down through your body and exits through your shoes, exits out of your feet through your shoes. It literally blows holes in your shoes. Now, help me here. How many holes and how many shoes were, did this, was it both shoes had holes in it?
Right. Both shoes had holes in the exact same place. It was kind of about the middle part of the shoe and exact same place on both shoes. It was just kind of weird the way it looked. But one shoe on the inside was kind of ripped apart. The sole was kind of ripped apart. But the other shoe was perfectly fine on the inside. It just had that hole out the outside.
Now, on both shoes, the exit holes were facing outward. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
So it's almost like the lightning found an easier path through the side of the shoe than through the rubber sole in the bottom.
Yeah.
So and it was interesting to me. I took one photograph while you were in the waiting room greeting family and friends at West Penn Burn Center. And you were sitting there, and your feet were bare at that time. And I took a picture of the burns on your feet. And it was interesting. There was a burn mark that started on the middle of the bottom of both feet. And then this burn mark went sideways up to this, up around the side of your foot.
And came up, yeah.
And it was like as though the lightning said, oh, we can't get out this way, so we'll just burn our way around the sides and then blow out that way. Yeah. And so just a kind of a freakish thing. So the shoes, of course, have these holes blown in them. The pants are melted. Which pocket or where did you have your cell phone?
Well, most of the time when I have my cell phone on me and I'm wearing those type of sport pants, I usually have it in my waistband. And I'm pretty sure that's where I can remember putting it. On the left side.
Okay.
And I have a little kind of a burn mark, not that big, and it's right where I would normally have my cell phone. So I'm guessing that's where the cell phone was at the time. Because, I mean, that's where I just always had it. I always put it right in my waistband.
Now, as I remember, when I got to see you, as that lightning traveled down through you, you had burn marks all across. How many different places did you have burn marks?
Did I? Past tense?
Well, you still show some signs of it.
Yeah. I know they were down my sides, down my back. I don't think there were any on my legs. I think mainly the legs were internal and things on the inside. On my arm right here, I still have a little bit of a scar, but as you can see, it's pretty well clearing up.
I remember those burns on your feet. The skin was burned but still intact until they started putting you into shoes and putting you into physical therapy.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it ripped that skin open and you had some ripped open skin on your feet. Right after that is when I snapped that picture.
Yeah.
You've been listening to The Voice of Truth. I'm Pastor Doug Joseph. And in case you've just joined us, you're listening to an interview with Zach Sandy, who almost 1 year ago was struck dead by lightning. He was without pulse or breath for around 30 minutes or so, when wonderfully, by the grace of God, he was resurrected. You did not have a ball bat in your hand. You had a catching glove on your hand.
Didn't even have a hat on.
Where were you positioned in the field?
I was in left field. Actually, I played outfield in high school, so that's just where I felt comfortable at. So that's first place I went.
And the softball game had just started.
Right.
And how many people had been up to bat?
One. I believe it was the second or third pitch.
Okay.
And they said as soon as the pitcher released the ball is when it happened.
Okay. Now, your cousin testified that he got like a triple.
A triple, yeah.
Your cousin came up to bat. He got a triple.
By me missing the ball.
By you missing the ball. So so your cousin was on third base,
right.
not far from where you were.
Right in front of me, yes.
He was right in front of you, and you and he were kind of laughing and joking and talking.
Yeah.
And then someone got up to bat, and it was, you think, what was it again, their second pitch?
Yeah.
And that's when the lightning struck.
Yeah.
The man who was pitching is, which you're a young preacher, but also you had just met 5 minutes before the game. You had met this other young preacher who's older than you,
right?
Caleb Tisdale, who just happens to be, a lifeguard who is very skillful in CPR.
Right.
And he's knocked down. Was he knocked to his knees or all the way to the ground?
I believe he was knocked to his knees because he said that when he looked at his father, he was knocked all the way down. And he said it didn't take him but a second to jump back up on his feet. And he started looking around. That's when he saw his father, and then he saw me.
Well, you know, with his training as a lifeguard, where he's trained to look out for people, you could tell that training really kicked in.
Yeah.
Because he jumped up and immediately began to pan his eyes around the field, looking for, is everybody okay?
Right.
And he recognized that among all of the people getting up, one of them wasn't getting up.
Right.
And that was you. And then he ran over to you and began giving CPR. And, you know, my wife and I were just involved in an accident in which the Lord really helped us. And my wife and I were right on my motorcycle together. And we were traveling with two other motorcycles, you know, three in a row here on I-279 near here.
Yeah.
And a couple of vehicles in the right lane, the one in front began to slow down. And so our three motorcycles went to pass him. And as we went to pass him, the first two motorcycles passed him. And as I was about to pass him, he turned sideways and stopped in the lane right in front of me.
So he came across
the, he came from the right lane, across the left lane.
Wow.
And he was preparing to do a U-turn, and he didn't see me. Very sweet man, very sweet wife, very precious people. He just didn't realize that his U-turn maneuver was cutting somebody off. He pulled over and stopped in order to look ahead for oncoming traffic for his U-turn, not realizing that by him stopping there kind of sideways at like a 45 degree in the lane, that I had nowhere to go. I had a divided highway curb on my left, and the vehicle that was behind him was on my right.
Yeah.
And so our motorcycle smacked into him. We were wonderfully protected by the Lord. When we hit, I remember there was a feeling as though time stood still for a bit there. And I had this tremendous peace, and we had prayed. We had prayed that day before leaving on that trip. We were going on a couple's ride.
Right.
We were going to go to Smoke Hole Caverns, and I had a hotel and all this. And we had prayed, and I felt this tremendous peace. I knew we were going to be okay. But as the bike bounced off of that vehicle and careened over into the oncoming lanes, and thankfully there was nothing coming.
I think that was a coincidence.
Yeah. My wife and I were both thrown clear of the motorcycle.
Wow.
And as we landed, my training from when I was in high school, believe it or not, I was slender then. But in high school, I took gymnastics, and we did these tumbling exercises. And it was like all of that training was there. It's like riding a bike. You just never forget.
Yeah.
And as I landed on the ground, I did a tuck and roll. And so all of my momentum was dissipated over that roll. So, but I remember I did one roll on that tuck and roll, and instantly I was up on my feet and running back to check on my wife. And that provides some sense of perspective for me of what things must have been like for Caleb.
Yeah.
With all of that lifeguard training, he's knocked to his knees. The moment he's able to get back up again, immediately scanning, instantly scanning, and instantly running over to see how you're doing. And so he told me, I was in the room with you and several others when he testified that was the scariest, most horrific, most ugly sight he had ever seen in his life. He said he will never be able to get that out of his mind.
Yeah.
You had smoke coming from your mouth, from your nostrils, from out of your ears, from out of your eyes. The lightning had boiled all the perspiration off of your body. It had melted your clothing, singed your hair, burned your body, burned your clothing, destroyed your cell phone. And he said you smelled like you had just been cooked, char cooked in some kind of a grill or an oven or something.
Yeah.
And so he very quickly discerns that you have no breath and no heartbeat, and he begins to do CPR on you. And so talk a little bit about you've heard the firsthand testimony of Brad Glaspell, your relative, and Jesse Glaspell. Talk to us a little bit about what all went on the field leading up to the ambulance and the resurrection there.
Well, as you can imagine, I got to explain my relationship with them first. Brother Bradley Glaspell is my dad's cousin. If we see him at Walmart, we're like, hey, how you doing? We'll talk to him for a couple minutes. But before this, we never really spoke that much. I mean, Facebook, social networking, we would talk. But we wasn't that close. My second cousin, Jesse, whom was on third base when this happened, again, the same with him. Like, we weren't really that close before all this. And I don't think that was a coincidence either, because I don't think my close cousins or my close family could have been able to handle this. But they, for them not being that close to me, they took it pretty hard when this happened. And they said that instantly just tears and praying, and they didn't know what to do. Brother Bradley Glaspell knew that he was going to have to call my father and tell him what had happened, because he's the one that took me down there that day. Jesse's trying to find my other two second cousins to kind of relay the information to them. They didn't want to go down and play softball, so they're up in the gym, and so they're just kind of running around trying to get everybody together and get everybody praying. Brother Brad Glaspell ran down on the field, and he's trying to figure out what's happening. And finally, Brother Brad Glaspell's father shows up, and he comes down, and he's trying to get Brother Bradley calmed down. And he's just, I can't imagine being in that situation, taking someone down there and then having something tragic like this happen to him. I'm not sure how I would react to that.
My goodness. When... Caleb did CPR continuously, which CPR is very tiring.
Yeah.
And this, he's in very good physical condition. And, I mean, this would have worn out anybody.
Oh, yeah.
He was just ceaseless. He was just determined. And I remember your dad in the book said that when he did get the call and he was told about it, the one of the only things that he could remember from that first phone call was pleading with Bradley Glaspell, please don't let them give up.
Yeah.
Please don't let them stop. And one of the interesting phrases that has been invented through all of this is what we now at our church call affectionately Holy Ghost CPR.
Yeah.
Talk to us about what Holy Ghost CPR is.
Well, to know Holy Ghost CPR, you have to know what the Holy Ghost is. So the Holy Ghost is God's Spirit inside of you, and the evidence of God's Spirit living inside of you is speaking in other tongues, speaking in a different language, a heavenly language. And so that's kind of what Caleb was doing that day. He would do compressions, give breaths, and he would pray by speaking in tongues and just continuously, time after time, doing the same thing over and over and over. And like you said, CPR is hard enough by itself. But when you're praying and
And so not only is Caleb Tisdale, this young preacher here, a Holy Ghost-filled believer who is now, every time he stops giving breaths and begins doing compressions, he's speaking with tongues. But his father also is a Holy Ghost-filled preacher.
Correct.
He's pastor of the church that was hosting the youth camp there.
Yes.
He's there by your side praying and speaking with tongues. Your father's cousin, Bradley Glaspell, he's by your side there. He's holding your head. He's crying. He's praying. He's speaking with tongues.
Yes.
And you, as you're laying there dead at this point, you yourself as a young preacher, you also have received the Holy Ghost. You received the Holy Ghost when? 10 years earlier, right? How old were you when you received the Holy Ghost?
I was 8 years old.
8 years old.
Yes.
So you received the Holy Ghost at 8 years old, and now 10 years later at 18 years of age, you have been struck down by lightning, and you've got all these Holy Ghost-filled people around you.
Right.
Phone calls are going out to Holy Ghost-filled people everywhere.
Right.
Who are then calling other Holy Ghost-filled people everywhere. And before it was over, your family received reports of Holy Ghost-filled people praying for you in intercessory prayer and speaking with tongues from all over the United States, Canada,
correct,
a couple of foreign countries.
Yes.
There was just a miraculous revival of prayer, a prayer revival that literally sprung up almost instantaneously because of this.
Right.
And so the event, 10 or 12 minutes later or 15 minutes later, the ambulance comes and they're trying to get prepped while Caleb and the other young lady that came and helped with the CPR, Lindsay, which she just got married. What's her new name now that she's married? Lindsay Leisure Kupfner?
Yeah, Kupfner.
Kupfner.
Yeah.
So the paramedics have them to continue doing CPR while they're trying to get prepped, and then eventually the paramedics take over.
Right.
And your dad's cousin, Bradley Glaspell, testified that at one point he heard a mention of, was it time to give up? And,
yeah.
And do you think it's time to call it with regard to calling the time of death? And the decision was made to continue. And then they put you in the ambulance. And the fear is that they're going to give up on the CPR.
Right.
And it's been, by that point, it had been some half an hour or so. And at that point, Bradley Glaspell, whose Spirit-filled father was also there, and all these preachers and others around this ambulance, they were spurred on, I think, by Bradley Glaspell saying, we can't let it end this way. Come on, y'all, help us pray.
Yeah.
And so what happened then?
Well, my father was also on the phone with Brother Bradley Glaspell, and he said, well, hold on, we're going to pray. So my dad was on the phone, and he got some of the preachers there and just some bystanders, and they laid their hands on the ambulance, and they started to pray. Now, I've been taught since I was little, if you get in trouble, that's what you do about a situation. You pray about it. No matter what it is, no matter how big, no matter how little, you pray about it. Because prayer can change things. But it's not about the prayer. It's not about you just speaking the prayer. It's about God hearing the prayer. And He hears every prayer. And so That's what I've been taught, and that's what those folks have also been taught. And they went to God in prayer, and they said within 5 to 10 seconds, a guy steps out of the ambulance and says, "We have a pulse." Now, the guy later, we got in contact with the EMTs, and the EMT told us that, you know, when they're working on somebody trying to get a heartbeat back, they're not looking at the monitor. And he said he was just kind of looking down, working on me, and every so often he'd look up. He said, well, one time he looked up and we had a pulse. Well, I had a pulse. And he said, I don't know if it was something we did or it just happened. Now, that could be him just saying that, or he could sincerely mean that. But I know for myself what happened that day. And I give credit to the EMTs. I give credit to doctors. And I think what they do is awesome, and we need them around. But I know for myself that if it wasn't for the help of God, I would not be sitting here today.
Wow. And in case you've just joined us, you're listening to an interview with Zach Sandy, who almost 1 year ago was struck dead by lightning. He was without pulse or breath for around 30 minutes or so, when wonderfully, by the grace of God and the help of praying people and medical people, he was resurrected. And he's here with me in our studio today. And we are quickly approaching July 11, 2013, which will be the 1 year anniversary of the celebration of the miraculous resurrection of Zach Sandy. And as you might imagine, there's a great celebration planned. And the Tisdales that we were just discussing, who did the CPR on you and prayed for you there that day on the field, the Tisdales have been invited. We hope they get to come. Do we know they're coming?
They haven't got back to us for sure yet, but there's a good chance that they'll be there.
So this celebration is going to be held from on Thursday, July 11, 2013, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Clarksburg City Park, which is also known as Norwood Park, in Nutter Fort, West Virginia. There's going to be free food, fun, fellowship, music, including even some live music.
Yeah.
And not only all of that, but this wonderful new book that is entitled, In Lieu of Flowers, God Gave Us a Miracle. Raised to life after a fatal lightning strike, the true life story of Zach Sandy by his dad, Russell Sandy, with Doug Joseph. This wonderful new book is going to have its official launch party that day. We'll have big stacks of those books there on hand. And I understand that you have decided that if someone wants your signature on a book, you're willing to sign it for them.
Yes.
Now, I want to say to you, I appreciate that, because folks don't understand the significance of me qualifying that. At one point after you being raised to life after this lightning strike, someone stopped you at Jesus Fest and asked for your autograph.
Right.
And your response then is what truly comes from your heart. You said to her, I didn't do anything worthy of an autograph.
Correct.
God is the one who did this. Why don't you get his autograph?
Right.
And I appreciate the fact that the last thing you want is for anyone to think that you are trying to take credit for this. But from a standpoint of helping to spread the word of this miracle, and from a standpoint of helping people to feel like I have come in contact with a walking miracle, I appreciate you being willing to sign their book, not to try to take credit, but just to try to help spread the publicity of what has happened here.
Right.
But in the closing moments of our broadcast, I want to mention to people that you've heard us speak about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This gift is for all believers. It was purchased by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Christ. It's for everyone. And this is how you actually can get God's signature. You really can get God to sign his name in your life by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You've been listening to The Voice of Truth. I'm Pastor Doug Joseph, and I'm thrilled to have Zach Sandy here with us. And we hope you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we encourage you to please come join us at the park July 11, Thursday, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.